Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 29th of February. All things political, which you always hear on Mondays, Hillary Clinton won South Carolina without needing a single white vote. We'll be talking about Donald Trump and declining to condemn the KKK. Said he didn't know anything about David Duke or white supremacists, wanted more information. And then today on a television show said that he disavowed him. The GOP race. Marco Rubio has really stepped up his campaign. Karl Rove said at a meeting of Republican governors and donors that Donald Trump's increasingly likely domination would be catastrophic. It would doom the party in November. And it's not too late, he said, for them to stop Trump. We'll be talking with Jonathan Allen this hour of the program. He is a columnist for Roll Call. He is co-author of the New York Times bestselling Clinton biography, HRC, State Secrets and the Rebirth of Hillary Clinton. He has covered Congress, the White House, and elections over the past 15 years. Frequent political analyst on national TV. He has been Bloomberg's Washington Bureau Chief and Politico's White House Bureau Chief. Before we get rolling, just a reminder, today is the last day of our winter membership drive. So please, we ask for your support, particularly for all things political. We're going to be rolling with this election for many, many months now. Tomorrow, Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, who has endorsed Bernie Sanders, will be with us. So for all that we've done, political conversations, we ask for your pledge this hour. And to do that, it's 888-202-2552. Keep this number in mind as well, because we'd like to hear your thoughts about Hillary Clinton's win in South Carolina, your projections of Super Tuesday, what you make of Donald Trump. Is there going to be a brokered convention, or is he likely to be the nominee? We welcome your phone calls on air for Jonathan. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email, if you'd like to use that, is talk@wpr.org. Jonathan Allen, hello. Thanks for being with us again. Hi.
My pleasure, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
What an incredible election this is, isn't it? I mean, it's just bang. It's unbelievable.
Fabulous. It's unbelievable. It's exciting. It's energizing. Hopefully it'll bring people to the process instead of keeping them away from it.
Yeah. Well, let's start with Donald Trump, who today, I guess, said that he did disavow David Duke, but he declined to condemn the KKK. He didn't know anything about David Duke or white supremacists. How could you not know anything about them? Wants more information, and now he says he's disowning him. And this guy is all over the place, but he must have known what he was doing when he said, oh, my earpiece isn't working. That's probably a lot of who he is. Well, how does he get away with all of this? Seriously. Whoops, Jonathan. Jonathan, how does he get away with it? That will be my question. Jonathan will be with us in just a moment to give an answer. I don't know what happened to the phone call there. Just a reminder that we do these conversations every Monday, all things political, and we have a really spectacular political week coming up with all of the primaries tomorrow for Super Tuesday, which we will analyze on Wednesday. I know many of you tune to us for political coverage, and we also like to hear what your thoughts are, because you kind of give us a pulse as to what you're thinking about what has happened when a race takes place, or what you anticipate will happen on a big day tomorrow, which is Super Tuesday, of course. So, Jonathan, I don't know if you heard my question. Did you hear me?
I didn't. I failed. I was dodging like Donald Trump on a KKK question.
All right. Well, how does he get away with this is my question. I just don't understand it.
Well, I think we'll see in the coming days and weeks whether this has any negative impact on his voting. It seems like every time he's embroiled in controversy, though, the numbers go up. I think what you've seen with his rhetoric on not just immigration, but on immigrants in particular, that there is a certain segment of the Republican Party that if they're not encouraging what he's doing, they're certainly at least tolerant of it. But we'll see whether these remarks have a different result. What we are starting to see in the last couple of days is tremendous backlash from leaders in the Republican Party, and you saw Mitt Romney earlier today tweeted basically his disgust at what Trump's refusal to to disavow the KKK. I mean, Trump eventually said he disavowed David Duke and had previously done so, but did not specifically, so far as I can tell, at any point repudiate the KKK. And then you saw Meg Whitman yesterday slam Chris Christie. She was his national finance co-chair, slamming him for getting in political bed with Donald Trump. So you're starting to see some backlash at the highest levels, but I think only time will tell if there's a negative effect for Trump. And my guess is, if there is one, it will not be on this Super Tuesday, where so many of so many of the primaries are in the Deep South.
Yo, what do you make of Karl Rove's statement that Trump's likely nomination would be catastrophic? It would doom the party in November.
I'm not sure how it plays. I think that, and I've thought this for a long time, that Donald Trump has the lowest ceiling and the highest floor. No, wait, the lowest floor and the highest ceiling of any of the Republican candidates. That is to say, I could see a situation where his candidacy dooms the Republican Party in the general election, and he loses a wide swath of states that Republicans don't normally lose because a good portion of the party chooses either to vote for Hillary Clinton or stay home, or Bernie Sanders should he win the Democratic nomination. Or you could see a scenario where Donald Trump's message to working class whites in particular nets him some states in the Midwest that have traditionally gone for Democrats in recent elections.
What do you make of this? This is kind of a side story, but he has denied that this was true at all. The Washington Post had an interesting piece yesterday. In 1927, Donald Trump's father was arrested after a Klan riot in Queens, raising the question that his father may have been a member of the KKK. And there was a picture of a newspaper report from 1927 mentioning his father. Trump has said this is fabrication, it's not true, etc. Do we know anything about this?
Well, the Washington Post is not first to that story. Others have touched it, so to speak. The New York Times had a piece on it. I mean, look, Donald Trump is not his father. But if he has views that align with his father, or if there's a question about whether his father was involved with the KKK and then Trump refuses to repudiate them, sort of sets in the narrative that he's very much out of the mainstream in terms of the public tolerance for the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah. Well, he did deny that there was an arrest, and it's on the front page of the newspaper, so.
Right. I mean, that part of it is clearly true. I think the New York Times and the Washington Post on basic news have more credibility than Donald Trump does.
Right. Hillary Clinton, South Carolina, one South Carolina I have read without needing a single white vote.
It's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so I think what you saw was, relatively high turnout among African-Americans. You saw lower overall turnout in South Carolina. Typically, African-Americans make up the majority of the Democratic primary electorate in South Carolina. It is atypical for a candidate to win 84% of a demographic group, and actually it may have been more than that, according to some of the exits I saw. You do basic math there. If you win, and we'll use 84% as the number for the moment because it's the one that I remember from some of the earlier exits, 84% of a group that makes up 61% of the electorate, that gets you to 51% of the vote. And then she also won among whites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get an election where one candidate gets 74% of the vote and the other gets 26% of the vote. You don't see that very often in competitive elections. I mean, typically you would consider a 10-point win a landslide. This was a 50-point win.
Yeah, it was huge. I want you to analyze for us. This is part of her victory speech in South Carolina. I think there was a different tone to Hillary Clinton. It's a softer tone and probably more effective for her. Let's listen to part of what she had to say in what some are saying was the best political speech she ever gave. This is after she won South Carolina, and Jonathan will analyze it for us.
You know, on one of my first trips to South Carolina during this campaign, I stopped by a bakery here in Columbia. I was saying hello to everybody. I went over to say hello to a man reading a book in the corner. Turned out he was a minister, and the book was a Bible. He was studying 1 Corinthians 13, which happens to be one of my favorite passages. Love never fails, it tells us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are words to live by, not only for ourselves, but also for our country. I know it sometimes seems a little odd for someone running for president these days and this time to say we need more love and kindness in America. But I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, we do.
Love and kindness. She has used that phrase a lot now during the campaign. Is that effective for her? And why did she switch to a love and kindness kind of theme?
I think there are a couple of things that work here. First of all, I think it's a contrast with what you're seeing going on in the mudslinging on the Republican side right now. You know, I expect once you have a Republican nominee, some of that will subside. But at the moment, it's a very nasty, unloving, unkind primary on the Republican side. So I think it's a contrast, and it's an offer to voters who don't like that kind of politics to come to her side in the general election. And I think most of that speech in South Carolina was a pivot toward the general election. The other thing is, you know, Hillary Clinton's got, you know, got some image issues. You know, that she's got a trust deficit. She's not necessarily seen as likable by most voters. And so I think what she's trying to do there is soften her tone a little bit. You can hear it in just in her voice, the softening of the tone, and then, of course, the words. And just a third thing I would mention, I think she's seen the success that John Kasich has had, the governor of Ohio, in attracting some Democratic-leaning people to like what he's doing and attracting a small share of the Republican Party to what he's doing. And that's the kind of message that he has had. He's talked about compassion. He's talked about his religious beliefs and how they form his the backbone of his political views. That's something that actually, you know, I think is maybe surprising to people, but it's somewhat of a natural fit for Clinton, who has sort of been based in the teachings of Methodist philosophy.
Yes.
Over the years. And when she speaks about scripture, it's, you know, this is stuff she actually knows.
She knows
talks
it.
About a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she must be likable enough to use somebody else's phrase, because she's doing very well. We welcome your phone calls. Please join the conversation. It's a day before Super Tuesday. We're looking at what happened in South Carolina. Bernie Sanders is today in Minnesota and later in Massachusetts, and so is Hillary Clinton. What do you expect from tomorrow? We also need to talk about the turnout here, because Democratic turnout is way down compared to Republican turnout and enthusiasm. So what does that portend for the November election? We'll discuss that. What do you make of Donald Trump's latest incredible remark that he doesn't know anything about David Duke or white supremacists? David Duke endorsed him last Wednesday. He wants more information, and then he's saying, well, oh yeah, my earpiece didn't work. I disavow him. This is one incredible campaign. Is it too late for the Republicans to stop Donald Trump? Well, here's how you reach us. 800-486-8655. Our lines are open for this all things political conversation, and we'd like to hear from you. Jonathan Allen is our guest, now columnist for Roll Call and co-author. We'll talk more about Clinton, because he's co-author of the Clinton biography, HRC, State Secrets and the Rebirth of Hillary Clinton. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Phone lines are humming. We'll be with you in just one moment for our All Things Political segment. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley in our Milwaukee studios, and this is the last day of our winter membership drive. It's your contribution that keeps these political conversations and so many more on the air. $10, $20 a month, whatever gift you choose to give us, we thank you for it, and it will help us. Donate at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hello, KP.
Hello,
hey,
Kathleen.
Hi.
I'm so excited, too. It is the last day.
I know
day.
You have been all morning.
It is the last
KP
day.
KP is ready to go.
And I'm excited because
that this is the last chance for your listeners, especially, to call in this last two right. hours and make their pledges and say that, you know, we appreciate shows like All Things Political and bringing in a nationally syndicated guest that really know their stuff, like John Allen. So we're pleased to have him here as well. We heard from 21 listeners last hour, 11 new listeners that made a pledge. So thank you so much for those pledges. We have a couple of pledges coming in this hour already. Three of you have called in. Thank you for those. We have a goal of 35, so 32 more pledges in this next hour to help keep us on goal. So you can do your part at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And the programs that you enjoy, like Kathleen Dunn, will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio.
We really love the work that we do. I think you can probably tell. We want to bring you wonderful radio from 1 until 3, Monday through Thursday. A lot of political programs right now because of the nature of the presidential year and because you're hungry for this. And KP and Scotty book some marvelous guests. Also, history, social issues, education, books. Next hour is Daniel Golden. We're here for you with very important topics.
And some fun topics, too. Like
we
Daniel
like to
Golden,
laugh,
you
yeah.
bet. And we can't really do it without your support. So listener contributions really do make up about 40% of our budget. That's a lot. In fact, it's the largest piece of our budget pie. And it's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can choose the new WPR bandanas as your thank you gift for your pledge of $6 a month or a one-time gift of $72. Your pledge will support the programs, and you and your little puppies will love these bandanas.
My puppies are going to love these
bandanas.
I know. They're 100% cotton. It's a really cool design. It's a navy, a traditional sort of look. One navy, one red. You get two of them. And you can see the design. They have some really cool WPR sort of like tricks on them. So check it out at WPR.org and ask for yours while you're pledging. And you can also pledge online at 888-202-2552.
I'm pleased to be a listener and part of the audience for Wisconsin Public Radio because, as our whole family feels, Wisconsin Public Radio and what they bring to the community is really a family value for us. I'm Joan Rudnitsky. I'm a board member of Wisconsin Public Radio Association. I'm from West Bend, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
And thank you so much, Joan. Make your donation in support of all the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We're asking for your support. All Things Political is a show that we love to do. We love covering politics, and it's the last time we will ask you during this pledge drive for your support for this program. Whether your pledge is $5 a month, or maybe some of you can do $100 a month, which is a wise use of your money, we appreciate, and we also count on your gift.
Yeah, and if you've been listening to WPR for a while, and I know you're out there, you've been listening and you haven't pledged, or maybe you've given because you didn't know that we were a listener-supported radio. So in any event, we are here, you're there, you're the single largest piece of our budget, and maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked and see if you enjoyed the show. Well, guess what? You probably like it, right?
You're still listening, so I imagine that you do. All these months, or maybe it's years later, so we ask you, how about a donation? Your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount you choose to give us will make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
The beauty of contributing to WPR is that it's always accessible, always a great value. You can't say that for everything you spend your money on, right?
That's true. You can't. And you get to choose how much you pay for your listening. You know that you will tune in day after day and week after week and year after year and get a great return on your investment. Give now. You know that it is worth it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Pledges are coming in. We still need 30 more in the next 30 minutes or so. So give to this to support the station and the show here that you love.
Thank you if you have already given. If you haven't, help pay for programs like this. Make your contribution right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
All week long, we've been coming up with all the ways that we can say, make your pledge. We've been saying, you know, stand up and be counted, or make your voice heard. Support all that you love here, and you do all of those things. You really do, and you really make that difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 30 more pledges. This is the last day of the pledge drive, everybody, and we have a little over 30 minutes to get them. So do it now, because today is the last day of our winter membership drive. All of you people who love to follow politics, this is the time to call and support these kinds of shows. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And again, this pledge drive, you can support the great political shows and also get a set of two WPR bandanas. They're yours with a gift of just $6 a month or a one-time gift of $72 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, KP, we invite people to become one right now. It's really easy to set up convenient and ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
29 more pledges to go. Please keep them coming in and keep us on target. 888-202-2552.
Thanks, KP. Last day of our pledge drive. Last day for you to contribute to all things political. And you can pledge for what you're going to hear during the course of the months between now and November and what you've already heard, too. Jonathan Allen is our guest now. He's a columnist for Roll Call. He's author of the New York Times bestseller, Clinton Biography, HRC, State Secrets and the Rebirth of Hillary Clinton. We have so much to talk about and our lines are filled. So let's go to some phone calls, Jonathan. We start with Mike in Plymouth. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Happy Leap Day.
Yo, happy Leap Day, Mike. Yeah.
First of all, my prediction 2 weeks ago that Jeb Bush would be the last man standing, I guess, is in ashes, but I wouldn't count out Bernie. What's happening now is I think Hillary is starting to overlook the Sanders momentum, and there is a huge groundswell that I don't think is showing up at the polls. There's now a Bernie Sanders single sites, and that kind of enthusiasm will not go away along with his cash flow. So I think Hillary needs to be a little bit more humble and realize that Bernie is making her a better candidate, but she doesn't have the nomination, and he's got the money to hang in there till July. So I think there's room for a good old debate and a hootenanny here.
Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, I'm all for hootenanny.
I like hootenannies, too.
Look, I think one of the things that Clinton did in that speech in South Carolina was try to start reaching out to Sanders supporters. She congratulated him on the race in South Carolina. I think that her language was very much of an effort to unify, to talk about shared goals, efforts to break barriers, things like that that are in some cases specific to her, but certainly not doing the kind of contrast that we heard earlier in the campaign. So I think, number one, she recognizes that there are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters that are not in love with her. In fact, many who dislike her and some who probably won't vote for her in a general election. I think what she'd like to do is tamp down that last category as much as possible. When you look at the delegates so far and you look at what's going to happen likely tomorrow, and obviously we don't know until the voting happens, but assuming there's some stability to what we've seen so far, and there's no reason to think that there's been a major shift, Hillary Clinton's going to emerge with a significant delegate lead in terms of pledged delegates to the Democratic Convention, and it's very hard to make up ground. It's not a matter of just winning a big state. You have to win not just states, but you have to win congressional districts within states. You have to win them in areas where the Democratic performance has been high in the past because they get an imbalanced number of those delegates. So basically, in a lot of places, you're talking about winning big in cities. In order to win big in cities, you have to do well with minority populations by and large. Not every big city has the same demographic makeup, but a lot of big cities tend to have a larger share of the state's minority voters. So when you look at the math, it becomes very difficult for Sanders. And then if you add in the Democrats have this quirk of superdelegates, her lead in superdelegates is 433. There are only 712 superdelegates. Right now she's leading 453-20. You combine all those factors, and the path for Bernie Sanders is it basically requires a cataclysmic failure on the part of Hillary Clinton at this point.
Jonathan, how do you explain, though, this Democratic turnout being down and Republicans are receiving record turnout highs? Why is that happening, and is it too early to ask the question, even though I'll ask it, what does it mean for November?
It's never too early to ask that question.
Okay.
In fact, I imagine by about November 7th or 8th of this year, people will be asking what's going to happen in November of 2020. I think, you know, first of all, Republicans have had as many as 17 candidates going out and recruiting voters and trying to expand the universe of voters, particularly in the case of Trump. But I think other candidates have been doing that as well. So if you look at just the sheer volume of Republican candidates, and if you look at the interest on the Republican side, you know, with all the debates they've had, with all the ads that are being run in the states that have competed so far, it's not surprising that there's a lot of energy on the Republican side. Plus, Republicans would really like to prevent Democrats from having a third straight term in the White House. That doesn't happen very often, and I think there's a reason for that, which is that the out-of-party power gets very eager to be back in power. So I think that's what you're seeing on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, I don't have a great explanation for why we're seeing lower numbers than we saw in 2008, other than just to say that that was a huge interest election for Democrats in 2008. I think they had, you know, two candidates who were running more or less traditional types of campaigns. But I don't have a great answer to the lower Democratic turnout. It may or may not be an indicator for November, and I just don't think we have an answer to that. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be in a Republican position right now in terms of having recruited all these new people into the process.
No. 800-486-8655 is our number, and you're listening to All Things Political. We go to Dennis in Wautoma next. Hi, Dennis.
Hey there. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
I was just going to ask if either of you saw, I was watching, I can't recall which channel it was, quite honestly, but they were, it was something like a PBS type of setup where they were showing focus groups, a large group of focus groups, a variety of focus groups about that were being asked about Trump, why they were Trump backers. And they were, as they were explaining or talking to these people, they were telling them, are you aware of his bankruptcies? Are you aware of all these other issues that have been brought up about him? And at the end of the day, hardly a single soul who was in the Trump camp walked away. They all said, no, we don't care about any of that. We're still for him. And they basically said, we're for him because he's not part of the political establishment. He's going to do what he says he's going to do, even when they were told that, but, you know, you really don't know what he's going to do yet, because although he says things, he doesn't give you any plans or any explanations of how he'll accomplish these things. And they said, we don't care. We just trust that he'll get it done. And, you know, it was so interesting to watch. And then they broke away to their analysis, and they said this is the reason why the Republican establishment is scared to death of Trump, because no matter what they've thrown at him, it hasn't stuck. No matter what they say about him, it doesn't bring down his numbers. It's totally unconventional. It's totally out of the ballpark for any Republican or Democrat that's run for president in anybody's lifetime.
It's also kind of scary, isn't it, Jonathan, that here's a guy, what he's espousing is just so undemocratic. To think of people like Abraham Lincoln in the Republican Party, and here's a guy who's anti-Muslim, who makes fun of people with disabilities, who is not really disavowing the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, some of this is just despicable, for heaven's sake. Why is he gathering so much support, even though the policies seem to be very un-American?
Well, I would, I would hesitate to myself to call what he's proposing un-American. There are a lot of different views of what American is.
Banning Muslims, banning all Muslims, is not un-American?
It is not. Well, let me put it this way. It's not the way that I view the world, and I think it's not the way that most Americans view their country in the way that it's been designed, but obviously there are some who do view it that way. He is not. He's not losing steam. He's gathering steam. So I think you're seeing a huge clash, political and cultural clash within the Republican Party, where you have many Republicans, including some very prominent ones, coming out and saying that they do not want Donald Trump to represent them because they do not believe he represents the way that they look at American values. And I think more broadly, you're seeing a cultural and political clash among the American electorate and the broader set of the American people. My senses, my guesses, and my understanding of politics over time is that will not be popular with the vast majority of Americans.
Mm-hmm. Our full
name. I'm not defending.
Yeah, sure.
Defending what Donald Trump's saying, or agreeing with his worldview, or even saying that I think that's the best representation, or even a reasonable representation of American values. I just know that within the United States, there are a wide array of views on what does constitute American values, and obviously Donald Trump has tapped in to a vein of people who believe that what he says represents American values.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number for you to be an on-air participant in our All Things Political conversation the day before Super Tuesday is 800-486-8655, and we love to hear from you. Keep trying. Our lines have been pretty busy. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is the last day of our winter membership drive, and you should know that listener donations are the foundation of our budget. They are the single largest source of funding for WPR. So if you've been meaning to give, if you love these kinds of conversations, please do it now, because the drive ends today. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yeah, join the 11 other listeners who have pledged this hour. We still need about 24 to keep us on track. So please call now and help support to keep this station strong, to help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show. All of that can be done at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
It's a great pleasure for me to be working with KP Whaley and with Scotty Myers and with our new intern, Kendra Smith, and others who help out with this program. We really enjoy putting together this show, and we talk about the issues of the day, as you can probably tell, all day long. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. The show is possible pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Please give now. Last day of the drive, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you do give, become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you give a monthly amount, say that's $10 or $15, and that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card each month, and that monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change. It's a great way to give.
This means that we can depend on you the way you depend on us. We do. We depend on each other day in, day out, and every single year. You're in control, and you can change your giving at any time. It's a very convenient way to give. It's really helpful to WPR. Become a sustainer right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, we also hear from listeners this time of year that think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
Your support really is so vital to keeping us on the air. And now that you know how important you are to us, make a pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I think a lot of what I hear on public radio, especially about the statewide stuff, sometimes I know the people they're talking about, and I certainly know the places they're talking about. I can really visualize it. The descriptions and the texture really makes it a great experience. So I've had a lot of those kinds of moments, I think, with public radio because I listen to it so often, you know, pretty much all the time. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, connections, and community.
Every time you listen to WPR, you learn something, whether it's about the news of the day, a personal anecdote, history. There's always something interesting that's going on.
Yes, and listening to WPR reminds you that life is truly fascinating.
It is.
Politics are fascinating. Mm-hmm. And that you're glad that you learned something new. That engagement you feel when you listen, that's really worth support. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the engagement we're experiencing this hour. Great guest, and we're talking talking with you about a very important presidential year and an incredibly wacky race that's taking place, at least on the Republican side. It is. So we're finding out what your thoughts are. We love that.
It's an unprecedented election.
No, it is.
On both sides, really. Yeah. And I think that having this show and having the ability to call in and participate in the discussion is really worth millions.
And it is.
And we know you don't have millions,
no.
But we'll take a pledge of any amount at 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener-supported radio, and it's true, as KP has said here, we really count on you, and we count on financial support from you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something meaty, special, important every single day. Your gift of $5 a month, whatever amount you choose to give, it does make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks, of course, to all of our sustaining members and everyone who's given so far this drive. If you haven't pledged yet, you still have time, but not much. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight. Our winter membership drive ends tonight. So this is your last chance, and your last chance through all things political. You choose the amount that works for you. The important thing is that you make the commitment right now and support this program. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking, KP, at 22 more pledges.
Yeah,
22. We can do this on the final day of our winter membership drive. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you need a little incentive, we have those WPR bandanas. You can pledge your support for the show, and just $6 a month will get you two bandanas. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day that you increase, please, your support of WPR by $5 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, KP, and thanks everybody for all of your support. Two more phone calls. We're talking about this political race. What about Bernie Sanders, too? We haven't talked too much about Bernie Sanders, and we want to talk more about Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, because our guest, Jonathan Allen, in addition to doing all kinds of great work day-to-day as he analyzes the 2016 race, he's also author of the bestseller HRC that covered her Secretary of State tenure. So back to him, back to all our many phone calls coming in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jonathan Allen, our guest. Let's go back to phone calls for a moment here. Lori in Tomahawk. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I was calling because I think it's too late to stop Trump. With all of the backing that he has, with the voter support, stuff like that, if he was to not get the GOP for the Republican Party, that... and decided to go independent, which he claimed he would do, that Republican voters would be divided. And so I think it's way too late for the Republican Party to do anything.
Jonathan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in the way that I just said, it would take a cataclysmic change on the Democratic side for Bernie Sanders to win the nomination. I think the same is true on the Republican side. Does that mean that there's not something that could come out that would... that would destroy Trump as a candidate? I suppose it's possible, but I'm surprised why we wouldn't have seen it yet. And again, he seems to be gaining steam, not losing it. There was an opportunity for Republicans to stand up to him in the fall, and they chose not to. They chose to fight. The other candidates chose to fight each other instead of Trump. Those who took him on were unsuccessful at it, and the Republican Party is either going to have to embrace him as the nominee or fight him as the nominee in some way. And neither of those options, I think, are appealing to the moderate wing of the Republican Party that is finding itself out of power right now.
I want to spend at least a moment, Jonathan, talking about your book, HRC, written a couple of years ago. And couple this with the former Obama speechwriter who's written this piece that's been widely publicized, talking about how Secretary Clinton is a lot more compelling than you might think. John Favreau writes that she was by far the most prepared, impressive person at every cabinet meeting, working harder and logged more miles than anyone in the administration, including the president, also spent a large amount of time on things that offered no discernible benefit to her political future. Was that a story that you heard frequently from the hundreds of people who worked with her?
Absolutely. I spoke to any number of people who briefed her, and what the common refrain was, and not so common as to think that it was, planted that way, because some of the people I talked to were not particularly close to her or not necessarily fans of hers. But what I heard time and again is that she would be given a briefing book the night before a meeting, the night before she was supposed to meet with a staffer who was going to brief her on a particular topic, and she would show up the next morning with second and third level questions about the policies. And if somebody who was briefing her repeated something that was in a briefing book of a couple of hundred pages, she would call them on it and say, "That's in the briefing book. I don't need you to tell me what's in the book that I read last night."
Right.
So from the perspective of being prepared, I don't think there's anybody in Washington who comes better prepared in terms of having information at their fingertips. What you hear from John and others who were in Obama's inner circle, not all of them, but certainly some of them, is that they were also impressed with the personal touch, that she did a lot to endear herself to Obama's top aides, the ones who had fought so hard against her. And I think a lot of them were reluctant to become Hillary Clinton fans, maybe in the way that Jon Favreau writes. The other thing that was interesting, we spoke to a high-ranking administration official who described the embrace of Hillary Clinton as sort of stages of Hillary. And this person, who certainly is not, it doesn't share her party, much less a lot of her political beliefs, said that they came into meeting with her the first few times, dreading the idea of having to work with her, and then they started to have a grudging respect for her preparation and her intelligence and her understanding of government, and then at the end they found themselves liking her, to their surprise. So I think, most of the people who deal with her who aren't reporters find that she has a tremendous number of skills as a politician, as a policymaker, but also have found that she's somebody that they can get along with and enjoy being around, which I think is a sort of untold story.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand,
We told it in the book, but
right,
I think it's
right, yeah.
As a sort of larger question, I think that's a story that's underplayed.
Yeah. Also, though, in the book, to be, there are a lot of layers here we don't have time for. We should have you on talking about her, and I promise you I'll read the whole book before. I'll be just like Hillary and do my homework and read the whole book. But also you describe a pair of, after her loss in the 2008 presidential primary, a pair of loyalists who are working on this spreadsheet listing names and behavior specifics of friends and betrayers with a gradation of loyalty and disloyalty ranked at one point on a scale of 1 to 7. If you stuck with her through thick and thin, a 7. If you weren't very loyal, then you got a 1. Why did they do that? And what did they do with that information?
I have a slightly glib answer, which is, if you look at the number of superdelegates, which we were just talking about,
there we go.
The number that are on her side this time, 450 out of the 520 or so who have spoken their mind, I think a large reason for that, some of it's natural affinity for her. She has remaining relationships with some of the people who endorsed her in 2008, but I also think there was huge fear within the Democratic Party that there might be some punishment meted out to Democrats that didn't get on board with her. The stories that we tell in the book, that I think one of the motifs that runs through the book, that starts with that hit list, for lack of a better term, is that when Democrats who had opposed her in the 2008 presidential contest had primaries of their own, often Bill Clinton would show up on the side of their primary opponent, and there were several cases where members of Congress lost their seats or lost elections to higher state office. In part because Bill Clinton had come in and endorsed their opponent, raised money for their opponent, cut commercials for their opponent. And so I think there's a chill that had descended upon some of the Democrats. What we see, some of them, I'm sure, is earnest in believing that she's the better candidate, but we have seen several of the people who were most readily identified with Obama in 2008 be among the most vociferous supporters of Hillary Clinton in 2016, including Claire McCaskill, who had earned a 7 on that ranking of 1 to 7.
Right.
She was considered to be the most awfully disloyal of people, in part because she had said she didn't, on Meet the Press, she didn't want
her daughter.
She didn't want her daughter in the same room with Bill Clinton.
Right.
Fast forward a little bit, and Claire McCaskill endorsed Hillary Clinton. Perhaps it was just after the 2012 election was over. I mean, it was a very early endorsement. And then when it didn't get picked up in the national press, she issued a second endorsement. You know, very eager to make sure that the Clinton people knew that she was on Team Clinton this time. So
right.
I think it had the desired effect.
Yeah. Ray in Rhinelander. Hi. Ray, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
This is an interesting time to be in the circus of entertainment that's going on with all this. It's like going to a movie mall where you have a subject and eight different movies to go to see this. It's kind of like the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. My point I'm getting to is Hillary's got the moxie. There's no doubt about it. She has a proven track record from day one, from what happened in the White House with her husband up to this point. She's been around the block. She is the block. She can handle it. I want to make one point about Donald Trump. The right-wing extreme Republicans are crying and complaining about Donald Trump. They need to take responsibility for putting him running for office. They have no idea about the new face on America. They're ignorant to what the people are needs and wants in this country.
All right, I have to hold you there. We're almost out of time. Jonathan, it's their own fault, the Republicans.
Well, I think, you know, the way that a party conducts itself is reflected in elections. So we'll see how the Republicans do after this primary. We'll see if there's a change in their tenor or tone. I think at the moment, you know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction on the Republican side, but that's not terribly surprising because a primary contest is in and of itself a dividing thing for a party, right? You've got to choose among these candidates. So we'll see how they come together if they do in the general election and how they reposition themselves.
Jonathan Allen, thank you so much for being with us, and we will schedule him again to talk about his book, a couple years old, but certainly worth reading, HRC. It's a Hillary Clinton biography. Jonathan Allen is a columnist for Roll Call tomorrow during our Super Tuesday primary. Robert Reich will be joining us, Secretary of Labor in the first Clinton time in the White House and now a supporter for Bernie Sanders. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. This is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Your support is so important to us. It's how public radio works. The people who use it help pay for it. You've been meaning to give. Please do it now on the last day of the drive. WPR.org 888-202-2552.
Yes, you can help pay for the programs that you depend on. We're still looking for 14 more pledges in the next 7 minutes or so. So make your donation now and support the programs that you enjoy here at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know that you can get headlines and sound bites in so many other places, but where do you go for this kind of in-depth discussion?
I know.
Where, KP?
I go to the Ideas Network.
Yes, sir.
Here, you don't just get those 20-second clips or a few minutes of back and forth. You can spend a whole hour talking with, you know, the former bureau chief of Politico, right?
Right.
So, you know, those are the kinds of things that you get only here on the Ideas Network. And WPR is such a great source of in-depth information. And that's why your support right now is so important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The last time our All Things Political asked for your support. This is the last day of the winter membership drive. So I know sometimes you wait till the last minute, but do it now. Every pledge matters. And every pledge helps pay for these programs. And you can also, just a reminder, to ask for this set of WPR bandanas when you give $6 a month.
Yeah, that's a $72 one-time gift. They're a traditional sort of bandana design. But they have this WPR spin. They have little radios and headphones.
Little radios?
They're very cool. And you can take a look at the design online at WPR.org and pledge while you're there. Or you can also call 888-202-2555.
Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, we thank you very much for it.
Yes, and if you have the special ability, we would love to have 9XM Leadership Circle members. And they're circle members who pledge $100 a month or more, and we rely on that member support, your support, to make great radio.
14 pledges to go. We have about 5 minutes to do that. We rely on one member of my members' support, your support, to keep us on the air.
Please call 888-202-2552. Make your pledge of support now for this program. This is the last All Things Political in this pledge drive, this winter membership drive. So if you've been waiting, please don't wait any longer. Go to the phones now, 888-202-2552.
And pledge for all the conversations we promised to give you, KP, and you know we will. On tomorrow, former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich will be with us to talk about Bernie Sanders. On Wednesday, we will have an analysis of what happened on Super Tuesday. These conversations have been going on for months now because it takes us forever to elect a president.
Right.
But they're going to be going on in the months ahead. So pledge for all that's to come.
Oh, and we have lots more to come. This is, as we said, an election year that really needs it.
888-202-2552. Thank you very much, KP Whaley, for producing the show. Thanks to Kendra Smith for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. Thanks for your gifts.